Ian Golding is a customer experience specialist. He's in Dubai for a customer experience masterclass workshop at the Jumeirah Creekside Hotel today. On the line with us, Ian. Afternoon.
Yes, hi there. Nice to speak to you.
Good to have you on. Look, let's just run through what you are doing in the masterclass, first of all, before we get to the nuts and bolts of how to keep customers satisfied. What have you been talking about today?
Well, many people won't actually realise that customer experience, which in itself is a mystery to many, is now recognized as a professional qualification. So what I'm doing today with a number of professionals from the region is helping them understand the competencies that are required to become a certified customer experience professional.
So what are those competencies that you need to become qualified to keep customers satisfied, Ian?
So there are six defined competencies, ranging from creating a customer-centric culture. So how can you get everyone living, breathing, behaving in a way that puts customers at the heart of everything you do? There is a competency around measurement. Customer experience, customer service is not this soft, fluffy thing. It is actually pretty tangible, and there are skills required to understand how to measure it well. You need to know how to improve the experience and the tools and techniques required to do that. You need to understand, very importantly, the right strategy to deploy, to enable everyone in the organization to understand not just what the business wants, but as importantly, what is it that the customer wants, and does everyone in the organization understand how to do that? So that's just to give you four of the six. I'll leave the other two hanging for now.
We'll come back to those in a moment. Does customer service start with the people providing the service? Does it start with a product? Or where's the crux of this?
It's a very good question, actually, which is one of the, educational needs for organisations all over the world, is that actually customer service is only one part of the experience that all customers have with an organisation. In the same way that sales is, that marketing is, that operations is. In fact, even the support functions like human resources and finance have a role to play in delivering the end-to-end experience to a customer. Essentially, everything a business does has an impact on what you and I, the customer, feels and experiences with the businesses we interact with.
So every sector of an organisation informs the other. I mean, that is, I suppose, the ideal organisation. Very few, however, are getting that right, are they?
Absolutely right. The best way to think about it is it is almost links in a chain. And how do you get every link in the chain behaving perfectly, seamlessly together so that they always remain connected? The industry that I suppose demonstrates this best is the hospitality industry, but not all of it. The Ritz-Carlton are widely recognized as being one of the most customer-centric organizations in the world, where it literally does not matter which Ritz-Carlton you go to anywhere in the world, the experience will be as good as the last. And everyone lives, breathes, and behaves in the same way. But as you rightly say, it is more common for that not to be the case than for it to be the case.
Which is unfortunate. And it's about inculcating the culture, isn't it? But let's say, for example, that you are a hotel, the brand that you mentioned there, and you're getting it right. When you look for customer service excellence and the executives that fulfill that excellence, is there a particular type of person? Because it strikes me that hospitality is a really good example, and lots of people in hospitality kind of embody those values. But what do you look for to get those values?
It's a combination of two things, and this might sound a little bit cliched, but it's a meeting of the heart and the mind.
Right.
In other words, you need to believe that an organization exists to fulfill a purpose. But actually, the reason why we do what we do is because we want to do what we do brilliantly so that the people that consume it will come back again and get more. And ultimately, the better able we are to do it, the more money we will make. Sadly, the commercial world all over the globe, because I work completely internationally, has sadly, over the last 50 years or so, got itself into a mindset, this is where the head bit comes in, where it thinks that businesses exist to make money first. And actually, that is the primary objective, is to make as much money as possible. And that is what determines our success. It might sound like a subtle difference, but making money is not why a business exists. A business exists to fulfill a purpose. The better able to fulfill that purpose it is, the more money it will make.
Which makes a great deal of sense. Like all things in life, it's about balance, it seems.
That's right. Businesses aren't charities. Mm. You know, making money is important. But you're absolutely right, Tim. It is the balance. It's as much about what the business wants as what the customer wants. And too often, all we see when we go into an organization is clarity around what the business wants, which tends to be, you know, profit, revenue, cost focus. But very rarely, even now, even though there is a profession, do we see a business that has just as much clarity as to what the customer wants and how it intends to achieve that.
It's amazing how quickly, I guess, businesses forget, isn't it? They become these monoliths, or these businesses that we regard as monoliths, that started with a person with an idea. They are effectively about people.
That's right. Absolutely right. And it's a bit endemic, and it's pandemic, that sadly we do lose sight of what it was all about. And there are some brilliant examples all over the world of the consequences of that happening. From Volkswagen to Tesco, you know, almost completely forgetting what the point is. And Tesco at the moment is one of the largest retailers in the world, is a brilliant example of what happens when you lose sight of your purpose. Because not only does it start to make up the numbers, but it spends all of its time doing things with an intention to give a return to shareholders, while at the same time completely ignoring its core reason for being. And so what it then has to do is to stop all of the things that it did that took its eye off the ball and try and go back to the basics of what it should be doing in the first place.
I mean, it kind of mirrors the human experience, doesn't it? We all too often miss the point of maybe why we're here or where we're trying to get to.
Yes, we do. We do. It's absolutely very true. You know, and the I suppose the synergy between all of that is the fact that this is all about people. I always say that my favourite business quote of all time is from a marketing guru called Simon Sinek, who says that 100% of customers are people, 100% of employees are people. If you don't understand people, you don't understand business. And it makes so much sense. And sadly, too many organisations that have I call it the magic vortex on the front door of their building. And when they arrive at work in the morning, they're a normal person, a normal human being. But then they walk through this magic vortex and they turn from a human being into a business machine and start doing things to their customers they'd never do to themselves. And I think that's the challenge, is to keep reminding ourselves, our businesses, and our customers that at the end of the day, if we want to be the best and the most sustainable business possible, it's about constantly reminding everyone that we are humans. And if we treat people the way we expect to be treated, then you can't go too wrong.
Do you know, I didn't realise there were so many philosophical aspects to customer service, but we've moved in that direction. Ian, one final question. You travel widely. You're a customer experience specialist. It's what you do. It's what you talk about. It's clearly what you believe in as a human being, it seems. But where are we in Dubai in customer service terms? Well, whilst you're here in the city.
So I would say this region, and Dubai in particular, is a very interesting case when it comes to customer experience. I first came to Dubai maybe 3-4 years ago, and I was quite impressed with what I saw from the very minute I landed at the airport to the minute I left. It was almost if the airport experience framed something that was lovely and shiny and new. And quite exciting, but sustaining it is going to be more difficult than it may have imagined, because I want to be wowed every time I go somewhere. And so I think what the business world needs to recognise in this country is what memories is it making with people that come and visit Dubai. You know, Dubai is in a very competitive environment, and it's got to work incredibly hard to make those positive memories to keep people coming back.
It's been really interesting to talk to you, Ian. I hope we get to chat to you again once you travel back through Dubai. Hopefully the experience will be an improved customer experience. Ian Golding is a specialist in customer experience in Dubai for a masterclass workshop in that very field at the Jumeirah Creekside Hotel. Good to talk to you, and thank you.
And you, Tim. Thank you very much.